Hey, folks, welcome to the Redneck Country Podcast. I am on with Bill Tom. Bill, are you there?
Good evening, everybody.
He is here, real Redneck Bill Tom. We got, again, the patriarch of Redneck Country, my father, Mr. Real Redneck Don Millard. Dad, are you there?
I'm here in this beautiful evening.
And
it
then
is a beautiful evening.
I don't know. I'm inside. We also have, back by popular demand, Real Redneck, Scotty Goodall. Scotty, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
You were playing with
Welcome me. Back, Scotty. Welcome back. Good to hear
Thank
your voice
you.
On the phone.
Sure.
Yes.
All right. Bill, what'd you do this week?
Holy cow. What did I do this week? It was an up and down week, but I finally managed to get my young son out of bed early enough to get him into the turkey hunt woods.
Whoop, whoop.
Yeah. I shanked him into it a little bit with the season coming to a slowdown. I shamed him. He's an apprentice hunter. And I told him that we can go in the bush and give him an opportunity to actually pull the trigger and shoot something if opportunity presented itself. And he's pretty happy about that. Actually, 3:30 in the morning comes along and the alarm goes off and I didn't even have to hardly rouse him and wake him out of bed.
He was ready to rock.
He was ready to go. He just a little nudge, turned the light on and up we went. And you know, I got to do my thing in the morning. I got my hot water boiling.
I was gonna say, going. You got to make your tea.
Yeah, I had to get up early enough to get the kettle going and I put up bought a hot chocolate on for him, so we each had our drinks that we were going to have in the bush. So, hey, there's necessities, and with the turkey hunting, it makes it a little easier.
Bill dipping his tea. They already bring in those bearded hens.
Yeah, no cookies. Didn't have the cookies to go with it. But you know what? You can't have everything when you're out there.
What did I think I messaged you that. You said to me, I'm just about to have some tea or something like that on Saturday morning. I'm like, oh, wait, did you bring the crumpets?
Chocolate granola bars. That says we brought chocolate granola bars instead. It was a picnic in the bush. It was wonderful. So we get out. Yeah, it was a good day. I went to a new section of the county bush that I've hunted before. And with that, we parked, and I had this vision in my mind of where I was going to go. So I started walking down the trail, and I get about 100 yards down the trail, and there's a lake. There was so much water on the trail, there was no way I was getting across. So come to find out that I wasn't able to get down that pass. So I backed out, and Hunter and I kind of found a different spot. But yeah, we had to change our plans. But it was an eventful morning when the sun came up.
Gobbles, gobbles, gobbles.
Yeah, you know what? They're pretty far away. We got sitting in a spot. It was dark when we got there. And we sat down and cleared out some brush in front of us. And I knew there wasn't a whole lot of shooting lanes right where we were. But with the style that we go with the run and gun in the county bush, my thought was when the gobbles start, you know, we're going to get up and move to find a better position anyways, depending on where they gobble from. And sure enough, you know, the first light comes, we're sitting down and the gobbles are far enough away that it's worthwhile to get up and move. So we got up and moved, and the gobbles were around us. I probably had three different birds that were gobbling all the way around us. And we get sitting in a second spot, and you know when the bird is gobbling on roost, and then when he hits the ground, because things change, the sound, the tone changes, and everything is a little bit different. So this bird that we were pretty confident was close enough to hear our calls because he was calling back, hit the ground and was silent, didn't say a word. So, you know, the kid's out in the bush getting up early, everything is going well. So he says, you know, he had a little bit of hot chocolate at this point. I think I texted you a little and said we were going to have a cup of tea. So we had our tea and that, and I said, I could see him nodding off, be sitting there beside me. And I said, well, if you're going to nod off, go ahead. Just give me the gun and you can nod off just to be safe, right? So he starts to nod off, and I get I said, all right, forget this. And I got the mouth call, and I got real aggressive with a hen call. Well, doesn't now, wait.
I need to understand more what you mean by aggressive.
So I was starting off. I had the.
No, I don't think you can really explain it. I think we need to hear it.
Yeah, I don't have the mouth call. I'm sure Scott.
That's okay.
Sure, Scott was able to produce the sounds of an aggressive turkey.
I think my calls are all in my truck.
Yeah, mine are 200 yards away, Todd. I couldn't even get them if I wanted them.
I don't know where mine are.
But I started off in the morning with the tree purrs on the slate call, and then I would do a nice little locator call. And then that was not working, and I got real aggressive with the and I won't do it because it's
like that.
Yeah, the real, and then even more aggressive than that. Just
that's what I was looking for.
You're in
for that. I'm doing the cha cha. Keep going.
Yeah, we were dancing back and forth with the cult.
Cha 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 cha.
And I find if they're not responding when you do that crazy, it like it makes them gobble by instinct. Like holy crap, what's going on?
That's exactly what I think was happening. But then. My son wakes up instantly when he hears that gobble.
Oh yeah!
Now the eyes come right open because that bird when he gobbled was, I would say, 300 yards away at least, if he wasn't more than that. And it's tough to tell when you're in a thick bush, but he was a long ways off. And I got on that call with that real aggressive call again, and boom, he calls back, and now he's cutting the distance, and you can tell right away that he's coming in. And my son's starting to get excited because that bird is not only responding back to our calls, now he's closing the distance from, you know, maybe across the street or wherever to around us. And that bird, he comes in at to a point where I said to my son, let's get the gun up. Let's start picking our shooting lanes. I can't see the bird now, but now I'm calling and he's cutting my calls in half. As soon as I mouth call to him, blah, 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 right there, right. I would say now he's probably within 120 yards,
yeah,
just based on where he is.
Getting to be go time. Here we go.
Now we're getting go time. And now what he did was he came in as if he was at our 6 o'clock, like right behind us. The smart bird comes in. And now he's closing the distance, and I would say he got within 60 yards. No question in my mind with the sound that he was, and I could not see him. I could not turn around, could not move, and now he's right behind me at 60 yards. My son's got the gun up. Excuse me. Son's got the gun up, ready to go as soon as he crests around. And he worked his way from our 6 to maybe to about, if you're looking at on the clock, to about our 8 o'clock, and he's still at that same distance, will not come any closer.
Did you have decoys out?
No, not a one decoy, because for two reasons. One, in the bush, I want him to come looking for me.
You got her.
And two, I'm in a county bush. There's a lot of public people around.
You don't
want
to get shot.
I don't want the other hunters coming looking for me. No, I don't. From a safety reason, that's my primary concern. I wasn't using decoys. Secondary, let those birds come to find out where that call is coming from. So I'm optimistic. I'm just thinking it's a matter of time. I got the story in my head. I figured it was going to be something like how I was going to tell the story on the podcast of my son's first bird with the first time he had the gun in his hands. And you know how the almost guy works, right?
So, is it hereditary?
I have passed down the almost guy trait, and unfortunately, the story doesn't come to a great end for harvest. But now that bird is right about at 8 o'clock at 60 yards, 60 yards or less behind, you know, some trees and some brush. I can't see him, but he's gobbling right at us. All of a sudden, at our 2 o'clock. Is a hen, and she is going nuts with the gobble. Now that hen was mimicking the calling that I was doing with that real aggressive, and I'm thinking,
was she dancing?
She could have been. I didn't see her. And I'm thinking, perfect.
Hold on while I lay down some beats for you. Cha-cha, cha, 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 cha.
This is the Redneck Podcast Gobble. That bird, now I'm thinking, perfect. If that hen is at about our 2 o'clock right out in front of us.
Oh, he's coming.
Well, that Tom is going to cut right in front of me. He's going to go from the 8 o'clock right across in front of me. I picked out 2 shooting lanes. I told him where that bird would go. And that bird stayed at 80 yards and circled from 8 to 11, met up with a hen, and was gone.
Did you actually get to see him?
Not even a glimpse. Not even a glimpse. So, you know, I'm feeling good, but I'm feeling a little bit downhearted because of how close we got to that bird. And, all that said and done, I said to Hunter, my son, I said, we'll give this another half an hour. If we don't hear a single gobble for another half an hour, we'll get up and move closer to where that bird was, just, you know, where we heard him last, and maybe cut the distance a little bit more and see if you'd be interested. Well, I get Colin just a little bit less aggressive now, and I hear a hen behind me. Well, now I'm thinking, what's this all about? I don't know where you came from, but there's what I can hear. You know, it doesn't sound like a great sounding hen, but it's there was what I would have a hen call behind me. Well, that hen turned out to be a guy named Terry.
My word.
Terry needs to work on his cha 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 cha.
Yeah, there was no cha cha in from Terry. We had a nice social distance conversation while I loaded the gun and worked my way to the car for a finish off my tea, and we went home. Anyways, Terry, I talked to him, and he says that bird has done that since the beginning of the season to him, where he's come into 80 yards, maybe a little bit further out, circle around him, and he just goes away. Never gives him an opportunity for a shot, never gives indication that he's coming in any closer than 80 yards, and he's just gone. So we tried. We're going to go out Saturday morning to give it another go, but they almost got his strikes again.
Every week, Bill, you have me on the edge of my chair. And you're so calm, and I think he's gonna surprise us at the end with a successful hunt, and then the bird walks away. When that doesn't happen, when you finally down that bird, I'm driving up to give you a high five. Week after week, and have me on the edge, and I'm telling you, you stay at it. You just keep going. Awesome.
Yeah, well, there'll be a time again when the almost guy can actually be the guy, and I'll let you know. So there you go. That was a good experience, but it's about making memories, right?
Sure.
For sure.
You tell yourself that. For you it is.
Yeah.
I mean, we enjoy eating stuff, but by all means, if you get full on memories, Bill, you go get your fullness.
If your freezer's getting a little bit empty.
Not a bird yet this year, but I've got pictures of everywhere we sat and the view from where we're sitting, and I love looking at them.
See, there's something to be said for that too, right? So I send you pictures every time I'm around, teacup in hand, or the.
See, I'm taking photos with my shotgun. You guys are taking photos with cameras.
The sun sets, sunrises.
Oh wow!
That was my week. Sorry to put it down, Ronald, but that was my week.
Yeah, he was still out there. Still got gobbling. You're right. Building memories. Hunter ain't gonna forget that.
No, and it inspired him. He was, like, you should have seen him shake. When that bird was coming close, like, I don't know if he would have got a good shot off on it, but that wouldn't matter. He was shaking like a leaf on a tree. It was incredible to see the excitement build in him from being asleep, basically, beside me, to the bird gobbling, to the thought that the shot was coming, to the anticipation, to the letdown. You know, it was a full range of emotions right there. But at the end of it, he was pumped up and said, I'm getting out of bed at 3:30 desk next Saturday. Can I go again? Absolutely, you can. I said, let's get up and see if we can make it happen.
Yeah. Right on.
So there you go. So how was your week?
Well, we went out Saturday, and I took Dad again. We went back to our original woods that we the one I call the David Suzuki Woods, that's got every possible wildlife in it known to man. And so Scotty went to his corner, we went to ours, and as first light started to come up, they were gobbling 3,000 yards away in the bush, two fields over.
So Don, I have to say, it doesn't sound like your guide put you right on birds. Like,
well, I picked this time. I said, let's go back there, and I want to sit in that corner. It's a good sit. I really liked it, and it was not a good pick.
I want to rewind even further. I want to hear about crossing the creek in the dark.
Who invited Scott back on this podcast?
I love that, Greg.
Yeah, you know, coming out, Scott walked out with us because he walks up behind the house and goes down behind the house and crosses this little bridge causeway where we had to cross the field and we have to cross the creek. But coming out, he met up and he joined us. And going back across the creek, he was laughing. He says, oh, this is why I like to hunt you guys. I miss this when going in with you in the morning, but I got to.
That was awesome.
No, it's not. Picture, okay, Bill, let me lay it down for you. It is 4:30 in the morning, pitch black. There is not a sound happening aside from the very, very light click, clack, click, click, of the small birds that are starting to wake up. And no I've moon. Got a... Huh?
No moonlight.
Oh, okay, no moonlight. But I have a light on my phone that goes fairly bright, especially when it is pitch black out. So we've got it. We park. We get our stuff out. We're ready to go. Away we go. We start. Scott goes a different way because he's going to his corner, and we can't go with Scott because we'd walk by the roost. So we've got to go down and cross the creek. And so the creek's not really that deep. And it hadn't rained. It rained a little bit, but not like torrential. So I figured we can cross this creek. And we've crossed it before. We crossed it the last time we were in here hunting this year. And so we get down. Well, I've got to go ahead because I've got to make sure we can cross where to cross. Take my gun, my chair, my pack with our stand-up blinds in it, the decoy, and hop across the creek, put it down, come back, get Dad's gun, Dad's chair, Dad's pack, take that across the creek, and then go back and make sure I light up the where Dad needs to put his feet so that he doesn't go in the drink and fall over. So I do this. I go down and I move all my crap and I throw it up, and this creek is like a 5-foot, well, maybe a 10-foot drop that you got to kind of pussyfoot your way down to get to the bottom, and then you cross a creek, and then you got to climb back up on this little slight angle that it's getting steeper, but you can get up it. So down I go, cross it, and I can cross this creek without jumping at this point. It's just like a really, really, really wide step. And so do it, throw the crap up on top of, in the field over my head. Now I go back. Dad's at the top of the creek. I grab his stuff. I go back down. I cross the creek. I throw his crap up in the field. I go back. And now the turkeys, we figure, are roosted probably 100 yards from where we're crossing this creek. So we've got to be quiet. Now, Dad, with his hearing aids, I believe he believes he's being quiet. I believe that he believes his whisper is a whisper. So now I've got to get Dad. So I go back down and I go over and I whisper in Dad's ear, and I get right in his ear. Okay, when you go down here, you've got a little spot where you can put your foot. So you got to get close, and then you're going to have to lunge across, and there's a little spot on the other side, and then you get to you, it's big enough for your other foot. And you're across. And he's crossed his creek before. Okay, we're good. So I go down and I cross the creek and I put my flashlight down and he gets down and he's just standing there. So I figure, okay, he's trying to see where I was talking about where to put your foot. So I step across with my light, and now I'm straddling the creek. One foot on one side, one foot on the other. And that little tuft is as big as my foot. My foot's covering the tuft. And I point with my flashlight and my other hand, there's the tuft. And now what do you do, Dad?
I was looking down at his foot, and to me, it looked like there was a spot right next to his foot. I'm getting it. He's straddling the creek. So I leaned forward, went to put my hand on his shoulder, with the right leg, because the left doesn't work, it locks up. So to take that step with the right foot down onto that edge, and then I'm going to launch the left foot across the creek and then and bend the knee into the dirt on the other side.
And I assure you, my size 10 boots filled.
Yeah.
That well, you look tough.
I'm going to put my hand on his shoulder. I'm reaching forward, leaning over. I'm off center now. The foot's coming down. And he says, "You got it?" And he steps back, and there's nothing there for my shoulder.
For your hand.
I'm up my ledge. I can't move the left leg. It don't work. And I have to launch the right one from the top of that, from the second ledge up. But I made it.
Let's go now. Now the real story. Let me tell the real story. So as Dad starts to come, my foot is on the tuft. I'm straddling it. And I realize with one hand on my phone, my phone's not going in the creek. Sorry, Dad. No offense, but you're going in the drink before my phone does. So one hand on my phone, I'm pointing at my foot, and I realize he's coming. Holy crap. He's coming. So I got to get my foot off that tuft so that his foot can go on that tuft, or he's stepping on my foot, and then we're both done. Because I'm strapped, like I am wide-legged, man. I got no support at that point, and I got his 200 pounds coming to me, and I'm my feet are 5 feet apart. I'm doing the splits, and I'm going to have to hold him. So I step back thinking, holy crap, he's starting to come. Well, in his whispering voice, he says, no. As he's, now I realize he was expecting me to stand there. So now I got to lunge back over and take his hand that he is trying to reach for my shoulder with to support and pull him across that creek and support him as he lunges across to make sure he doesn't go face down in the drink. And then
that foot launched and you were gone. You were out.
I grabbed you and pulled. And then it gets better because once you're across, you figure, okay, oh, wow, dodged a bullet there. Didn't go in the drink. 100 yards from the turkey roost. Whew, okay, let's just get our crap. Oh, no. In his whispering voice, I get, "Jeez, I thought you were waiting there for me." Oh, that's just great. Hey, hey, turkeys, would you like to come give Dad a hand? Because I'm pretty sure you're awake now.
I'm surprised you didn't hear him, Scott.
Yes, the deer heard them, though.
Yeah, Scott ain't going to admit to nothing. Sitter.
So, I'm starting to understand why you got to get up so early.
Right?
You're funny.
So then I'm going, shh, 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 shh.
He can't hear that. There's no way he can hear you.
Oh, trust me.
He thinks it's wind.
When my knuckles are white squeezing into his shoulder and I'm in his hearing aid, he hears it. So then we pack him, get up the hill, pack him back up like the pack mule, climb up the hill and keeping Dad in the field. And then I sneak in and put our blinds out while he sits and waits for me to come back and get him. Get the decoy out, get the blinds out, go back, get him, bring him back in.
You need to get him a cup of tea while he's waiting there. I think that would calm the whole situation right now.
That tea would be cold.
Oh, too funny.
Oh, yeah, too funny. Scott's over sitting in the corner laughing because he knows.
I love that.
So we got in. We sat there. Not a frickin' gobble. They're 3,000 yards away. Well, I said, there's no way that there's no turkey in these pines. There's always turkeys in these pines that are now like they're 50 yards beside us. So as it got light and not, I figured there was Goblin at the end of the woods. I figured where Scott was, but it was still a long ways away. And then there's Goblin's like 3,000 yards away in another bush. I can see the bush, but it is a field and a half away. Like, it's huge. So I'm sitting there and I said to Dad, I thought I heard. So I thought, oh, that sounded like a turkey. And now there's a meadow below us that they go in. They either come up top with us or they drop down to the meadow. And now this could be my bad. But I said to Dad, okay, I just heard that. Should I? And I've already shot a turkey. So this is for Dad. I'm a little less vested. So I said, I just thought I heard one drop down the bottom. Should I go? Oh, yeah, sneak down there. So I sneak out of our blind and walk down the edge of the pines, down the side. I get just to the bottom, and I put two turkeys out of the roost. So I couldn't see them, but I heard them. I mean, one out of the roost.
No,
I think,
mistaking that sound.
Yeah, I think one was on the ground because it was low and just in front of me. I wasn't quite to the bottom of this field. This hill in this field on the edge of these pines. I think it was right down on the bottom on the ground already. That was probably the one I heard. And then the one in the tree, it was in the tree, but it would have been less than 50 yards from us. But neither gobbled when all the others gobbled. And provided they didn't hear us cross the creek, which I will tell you that we've set up pretty close to some roosted turkeys, and the circumstances are usually the same getting Dad in, where we try to be a ninja, but you know you're not going to be, and yet they still are there, they still gobble, we still have success. So I'm 90% sure they were just hens. Never made a sound.
That's a good thing to tell yourself to make it feel better about it. Kicking a couple birds out of there. But,
right?
Yeah. You know,
so
I'm with you. They were hens. For sure. They were.
I guess the creek cog crossing wasn't the problem. It was Todd not being able to sit still, wanting to know what was down below. So I was thinking.
You know what? You're absolutely right. You should feel pretty good about that.
He green-lighted me. I asked. And it wasn't like a hum and a ha. It was, yeah, yeah. So,
oh yeah, don't scare him out of the tree. It won't be my fault.
Oh, good Lord. So anyway, we sat there and then it was hours, nothing going on. The gobbles, you could tell they hit the ground. They went the other way from the 1,000 yards maybe at the end of the woods that Scott was in away. And then the ones 3,000 yards away, they just couldn't even hear them anymore. So, okay, they're all gone. What do we do?
Scott, a bearded hen walked by me.
Oh, yeah, Scotty had a bearded hen go by him. He's like, I might regret
Did
this,
you?
But I
like I might have just regretted it. It was like 20 yards, and it had a long beard, but it didn't look like a very big bird, so I let it go.
Yeah,
it's not
so,
like you. I know, it's not like me.
It's the new Scott.
Yeah, I'm not sure I like him yet.
Trust me, jury's out everywhere. Anyway, no. So Scott messaged me, says, I got this bearded hen, yada, yada, yada. So then time goes by after that. And he says, I got to go. I'm tempted to go look in this field beside me. And I'm like, dude, like what are you? Sorry. I should prelude this with, as we're sitting there, there's a field behind us. Because we're just on the edge of this field in a fence row, watching the field that they go in. It's like a protected field. So behind us, I mean, it's field forever, but it rolls really, really high and low valleys and hills. And so we look across, and across that field, there's a fence row, and then another field that's got some rolls in it, and there's a turkey walking across the top. So we're talking, how far, Dad, was that turkey? 2,000 yards away?
Yeah.
So there it goes. I'm like, I said, Dad, there's a turkey. And Dad, yeah. So we watch it. I call, nothing happens. Well, for whatever reason, it puffed up. It's a tom. Okay, well, we're not even in the ballpark at this point. What do? I said to Dad, do you care if I drop down? No, you think you could go. Okay, so I get out of our little blind. I drop down along the creek, and I run along the edge, and I'm staying down in the swells. And I get up and I can't see it anymore as I get closer. I'm probably 200 yards now, and I'm looking and looking because I'm the other side of the fence row down in a valley, and it was up way up on a hill, like 80 yards up on a knoll of the next field over. And I'm looking, I can't see it. So I keep creeping closer, keep creeping closer, and next thing I know, whoom, I see it run. Ah, crap. So it busted me. So then Dad texts me. It ran, and then it slowed up when it got close to the woods. I thought, oh, it slowed up. Maybe it was running out of hen. Maybe it didn't see me. So I kept on going. So I never did see it, but I thought, okay, now I'm way over here at this bush where the turkeys were gobbling. So I thought, Dad and Scott are way back over there. I might as well walk the edge of this bush and then come through it at the far end so I can at least push all the turkeys their way because I'm here now anyway. So yeah, I might did.
Well push the bush.
And yeah, so it's like deer hunting at this point. And yeah. So I do. I push through and look, and I don't see anything. I stand there for maybe 3 minutes watching the edge of that field, which is another field yet. Nothing. So I go back out the way I came and go all the way back across that, down the knoll, through along the edge of the creek and back up to Dad and sit down and said, okay. I said, I don't know where he went, but I went through. So hopefully I pushed all those turkeys into this woods that technically connects to where Scott's sitting. So they got either walked by Scott or they've cut across the corner and they're going to walk by us. So it maybe increased our odds a little bit because considering nothing was around us anyway, based on gobble locations. So as Scott says, well, I'm going to go check the other field. He messages me. I'm going to go check this field. I say, yeah, do it. So he goes and he says, okay, Big Tom in the field, far corner. Oh, now we're talking. So I just said, he calls me. I'm going to go. Well, yeah. Like what else have you got? Like, let's keep this fun. This is not deer hunting. Go yeah. get him. So I just said, yeah, 20 yards in the woods, stay 20 yards in the woods. Didn't I, Scotty?
Yep. So, that's all I heard is I was putting the phone in my pocket.
So I'm going, 20 yards in the woods. Stay 20 yards in the woods. Hide behind the trees. So Scott, at this point, I assume, okay, Scott's going. He's gonna sneak along the edge of this woods. That turkey's out in the field on the far corner. If he stays 20 yards in and hides behind trees, I've done this. And I've echoed them as they walk back and forth in the field, waiting for them to get close. As long as you're 20 yards in, they don't really look that far in and hiding behind trees. Bounce along, hide behind a tree. When they're not looking, you can kind of stay with them. So I said to Dad, okay, Scott's got one in this field. Why don't we get you up to that corner in case it comes this way across the field away from Scott if it sees him in the woods? Okay, let's go. And I said, well, with that thought, you go to that corner. I'm going all the way back the way that I just went and then come through that far bush, and I'm going to come up the other side of that field, the other woods, in case they run away from Scott into the woods. They've got to come by me right there because it's a field.
Like
it's a 20-yard wide bush that they're going to run through, hit that field, and keep on moving. So
funnels them into it.
Yeah. So I thought, perfect. So I was Richard frickin' Simmons in muck boots and probably wore too much for that. I was sweating. Dad got up to the corner. I booked it. And I mean, I sprinted across that bottom field. I probably ran 3,000-4,000 yards across cut cornfield, up through the woods, got to the edge across that field over. And I didn't want to get too close to the corner because I'm thinking, Scotty's coming into the corner on the adjacent side of this fence row that I'm coming up, this 20-yard wide fence row. I could get shot. So I'm going to hang back a bit. So I'm trying to message Scott and call him to say, don't shoot me. I'm not getting any closer. And then a deer goes blasting by me. So I'm like, okay, Scott's got to be somewhere there. And then next thing I know, Scott shows up. Oh, crap. What happened? He says, yeah, they ran right into this bush. Well, they should have went right by me. And if they didn't go by me, they should have went by Dad. So they're like, vanish, man. Ninja turkeys.
And there was two. Ended up being two toms. Two toms and a hen.
Two toms.
And you didn't see them at all. Don got a glimpse of them. I got a glimpse of the hen busted me, and then she run, and as soon as she run, the toms run. Yeah. And I was about 80 yards at that point in time. So then I started running after them. I busted out the woods and started running after them. Don seen me running across the field.
We got videos, guys.
We at least got exercise.
I tell you what. So, and that's it, right? Like, That's keeping it. So for a little bit there, we had some excitement where you could have sat and done absolutely nothing. Those toms would have followed that hen into that corner anyway, and you'd have never
got, seen them.
Nothing would have happened. Or you could have that 10, 20 minutes of excitement and possibly put the sneak on two toms and had one heck of a story. So I think you did the right thing.
Yeah, you're getting close to the end of the season, so might as well try to make something happen. And you guys would do that anyway.
Because Bill, we'd have done that opening freaking day.
Yeah, we've got them before in that spot.
It's not like you're ruining a spot by putting a sneak on or something. You're having fun.
Well, and this is the same field that Scotty ran across, and that 20-yard wide fence row I'm talking about is the cut. That's the same field where we did that same spot and stock, only the tom was on the other side of that fence where we could see him through the opening in the trees. And that's the one where we snuck Scott and Dad across that field and came up to the cut, and then they went 1, 2, 3 and both jumped out and pounded that tom, and Scott shot the tom. So that's the same spot. So it's worked. It's just this time the tom was on this side.
This side of the fence room.
So Scotty would have had to been super ninja Scotty.
Yeah. So I got a quick question. That bearded hen that came in, did it make any noise?
No.
Did it sound like a hen?
No, it made no noise, none at all. It walked down the edge of the fence row, it flapped its wings. When it flapped its wings, I was thinking, that's a Jake. And then when it got closer, I was like, it doesn't really have like a look like a juvenile bird to me. It looked young, right?
Yeah.
I thought it was a Jake. And then as it got closer and closer, I keep thinking the beard was probably 5 or 6 inches long, right? And I was thinking it just looked small, looked tiny. It never occurred to me at that point in time. I just kept thinking Jake. So I let it go. And then we come to the conclusion later that it was probably a bearded hen. Made no noise at all. Zero.
Yeah.
That's neat. I've never seen that. Yeah. And then I didn't know if I should have shot it or not, but I didn't.
No.
No. Let it go.
Let it go. So
I know, but it
so that was our Saturday. I then went back out solo. Back to what I thought was the magic spot where the week before, if you listen to our podcast, was like Gobblehaven responded to everything I could throw at them. If I just made they came from 3,000 yards away and wanted to sit on my lap. So I went back out the afternoon, and I'll tell you what, I didn't see a hen. I didn't hear a gobble. It was Squirrel City, and that was it.
That's because you were sleeping because you got up so early and ran and exercised
so
much. Nope,
I was on my phone the whole time.
Might have had something to do with it.
But nope, not a darn thing. So
that's discouraging.
Yeah, that was a Saturday.
That's all right.
And then Sunday was family time. We didn't go. But
no,
we got Scotty on the call, and we said last podcast that we had a story, but we couldn't tell it because we needed Scotty on. So the previous Saturday, we can now go through that story. So the Sunday is when I shot mine. I was out there by myself calling the birds. It was so responsive that Sunday. That same spot, we were there Saturday morning. And so didn't have to cross no creek. I got Dad up, had him sit in the field while I went in the bush and set up. And Scotty went down the bottom. So we're up in the top field along the bush edge. And Scotty follows the fence row and goes down the bottom. And that fence row where Scott sits is like an intersection. There's a field behind him. There's a slight creek that runs behind him. But there's a roadway for the implements to go over top of the creek right behind him. And he's splitting. So he's sitting on a little causeway that divides three fields.
And
down in the bottom, like the field drops right off and goes down towards the creek, and he's right down in that bottom. So
it kind of sucks because it does. You are down in a bowl, so you can't see that far around you. But
yeah,
you know they're down there.
Goblin, then you don't know they're coming.
Yeah,
they're just good.
Which happened to us this year, right? You and I went and sat down there, and then I don't know. We're looking at our phones or whatever. Look up, and there's a tom.
He is a big old bird. I bet it's the one you shot because he was. I even said to you at that time, 80 yards. He was staring at us, and I'm like, "Holy crap!" And he had already busted us. He was staring and staring. He just decided to disappear. And I said to Scotty, I said he was a big bird, man. He was a good size.
And then in that same spot, I was walking in that fence row, and I get to the top of the hill looking down, and there's a Tom in that bottom corner where I normally stand.
Yeah, and then that's when I busted along the wood side, and we never did see him where he went.
No, we lost him. Don't know where he went.
Yeah.
Stupid. You guys got a blind that you built there, or you take your blind out?
It's just a little stake blind.
Yep.
In all honesty, I'm in the wide open. They can see over this little blind. You got to sit really still. I'm sitting in a lawn chair, right? I'm sitting in a lawn chair with this little stake blind around me that covers about, I don't know, half or three quarters of my body.
And that's the extra large blind, folks.
Yeah.
So Scott's down at that bottom. So I go in and I get Dad, okay, you sit in the field. I'm going to go in. I'm going to put our blind out. I'll get our decoy out. I'll do all that jazz because we're on the edge of this woods. So I put the decoy. We go in 10 yards in the woods. So we're kind of hunting the woods, but I know they walk this field every which way. So I put the little feeder head just right on the edge of the field. So you can't really see it from being in the woods. So it ain't going to hang them up in the woods. But I do want them to come closer to us if they're walking across the field and totally ignoring, because we're kind of in a weird spot. If you were hunting the field, you wouldn't have picked this spot. You'd want to pick a corner, and we're kind of in the middle of the woods against the edge of the field, if that makes sense. So I put the feeder head down. I go in. I go out, get Dad, sneak him in. We're sitting there, and there's gobbles. What, Dad, 200 yards from us?
Jesus. Yeah, I can hear him.
Right, yeah, Dad can hear him. You know they're within 200 anyway, maybe 100. Right there in the corner, like they're close, and right in the corner. So to give you more perception, where we are, the corner's in front of us, and Scotty is off to the right of that corner, down below it. So Scott's probably 200 yards from that corner, maybe 300 yards from that corner, and we're
three.
What's that?
Probably 300 yards
down the bottom. Yep. And we're about, I would say about 100 to 150, I guess. Now, if I really think about it, we're about 150 yards from that corner in the woods. So we got them. If they go down towards Scott, Scott's got them. If they come towards us through the woods, we got them. If they go, there's only one other direction they can go and disappear. And we wouldn't know, we wouldn't see them. So that is a possibility. So we're sitting there. And so as first light comes up, there's got to be three or four Toms in there just going to town. And I mean, 150 yards from us, Dad can hear them. All right, we're good to go. We've got them. Something's going to happen here. So we sat there and they gobbled and gobbled and gobbled and gobbled. And then I could hear, I said to Dad, they're down, they're down. And they didn't shut up. They kept gobbling. So one started to go to the spot where I said they shouldn't. They just are walking away from us. But there was another couple. One was right close to us, and I would almost guess he was closing the gap. And then there was another one behind it, a little further away, that I figured was in the field up in that corner. And so then I could hear, I was competing all of a sudden with hens. I could hear the. So I'm like, oh, great. Here we go. So I'm competing. Well, just then, as time went on, I mean, we were sitting there. We were playing with them for a good hour. And I mean, they were back and forth and gobbling. Would you say an hour, Dad?
Oh, yeah, easy.
Yeah, like a good hour. And the whole time, gobbling. So we're trying to figure it. I got Dad. He's swiveled around. He's ready to rock. I'm ready to go because there's more than one bird. This could be the double. And then I seen movement. And then there's a turkey, and it stops 100 yards away from us in the woods on the edge of the field. Looks like it's going to walk into the field in the green. And I'm trying to point it out to Dad, but I couldn't through the bush. And so we're sitting there calling, calling, gobbling, 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 gobbling. And then, Scotty, you could take over.
Yeah, so there's this Tom, and he's out in the field. He's all puffed up. And then something would gobble in the woods, in which I assumed was Todd and Don.
Yeah, which
and,
we didn't use the gobble call that morning.
Right.
So it was turkey that we had closer to us.
And so when that one gobbled, the one that was in the field would unpuff, stand up, run around in a circle, and then stop again. And then it would puff up, and then the one in the woods would gobble again.
Can I interject? So
yeah, sure.
One would gobble, and the other one would almost get exasperated, unpuff and run around in a circle like, oh my God, all frustrated.
Absolutely.
I bet you they were exactly father and son. Happening. I bet you they were father and son. Carry on.
Possibly.
You know the feeling, do you, Don?
Yeah. Thank goodness.
No, I didn't.
Okay, sorry, Scotty. Carry on.
That's okay. So yeah, that happened a few times that when I just assumed it was Don and Todd trying to call this Tom back to them. And so I made a loud, I had a slate call. So I made a loud few calls.
I could hear you
and
too.
It started walking towards me. And as it was walking, it would gobble. It would take a few steps and gobble. It never stopped walking.
How did that go? Was it a distinct gobble?
Step, 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 go, 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 step, 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 go, 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 go. That's exactly what it did. And so it was walking in the direction that I knew it was, but I thought it was going to, I'm facing, I can't even explain, I don't know. And so I thought it was going to pass me on my
right.
Yeah,
and looking at
I thought it was going to pass me on my right. Yes, I'm facing the two fields.
And you thought it was going to walk through the
to my right
to your right behind you into the field behind you where you have no shot because it's nothing but
right.
but a tree.
And
line.
I thought I was going to have to turn. I was going to have to turn to my right, but this thing kept coming. So I again called really lightly this time. I called really loud the first time. I called really lightly the second time. And it was like it was on a string. He never stopped walking. He walked right in front of me about, I don't know, 30 yards, maybe just a little under 30 yards. And it was perfect. I laid him down right there, one shot. And the funny thing about that is I get a message from Todd saying, that was really close.
Then I get back. Yeah, it was.
I said, yes, that was really close. Todd was a little bit irritated thinking that there was somebody else in there.
Well, let me tell you, I can give you from my perspective on that because Todd was texting me at the same time saying, I got these birds, I got these birds. And then all of a sudden, boom. And then about 2 minutes later, oh, it's okay. It's Scott. It's okay. It's
Well, because, Dad, back me up on this. It sounded like it came in front of us, like away from Scotty.
Yeah, it must have echoed in that valley, eh?
Like
it, that little bowl.
It sounded like it came exactly away. So I figure, yeah, exactly, Scott, that it came down. So that... where Scott is sitting down at the bottom, like I said, that field, we're up on top, and that field drops down, and Scott sits down where all the fields intersect, but it's a bottom. But that bottom goes right along, and that creek goes right through the woods, and right around me and Dad. So when that gunshot went off, me and Dad both thought, I said to Dad, holy crap, that was freaking close. And Dad said, yeah, like, so Dad heard it. You know it's close. Only, and I even said to him, I said, but it wasn't that, it didn't have that crack at the very beginning. Yeah. It was like, and normally, if a gun's discharged in your direction, it's, and so it didn't have, I actually said to Dad, the only saving grace, Dad, is that gunshot didn't have that crack where it's in our direction. It was away. So I figured that Tom that walked away from us down into that bottom, there was a hunter down there that just smashed it. And I mean, I'm going, yeah, that was like 100 yards. Like, and so, yeah, when you go into that woods, that ravine is 100 yards from where we're sitting right down. So that his Scotty's gunshot echoed right on down. And I swear to you, it was 100 yards down the bottom right in front of us. And like, holy crap. So I did. I messaged Scotty and I'm like, that was freaking close. And I was getting a little mad thinking somebody's in this woods. Like, that's insanity. That's not like, oh, he's 500 yards in the next farm. He is right there. And we've been calling all morning.
We were sitting there, and that gunshot sounded like it was right in our lap, and it sounded like it was right in front of us, the way we were facing. And we both looked at each other, and I said, whoa, that was close. And we said that at the same time. And I said, you know what? Scott's going to think that's us.
Yeah, you did. So I said, I better text him.
So Todd's message to Scott, and he says, that was close. What? And then Scott messages back and says, yeah, rip close.
Real close. And then 2 minutes later, it was because it was me.
I was trying to leave you hanging a little bit.
And he did so for like 2 minutes. Me and Dad are distraught. Like, man, this year just sucks. This year we just can't catch up. And I think I said to Dad, we just can't catch a break. And then I get a message because it was me. And I'm like, oh, Scott shot one. And Dad's fist pumping. Yeah, yeah. roller coaster of emotions.
Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah, you're right.
I saw the scale on that too. That was like 46 pounds.
43 and a bit. Yeah,
43.6. So
it's like the Ontario record.
Like world record.
No, it got beat the next day.
So people know what I'm talking about. I alluded to this, I think, the last podcast. But yeah, so I'm looking. Scotty sends us a picture, and he sent a pic after. He's bored now, right? So me and Dad are like, okay, do you mind if we hang out here? Because we know we got one down there. But as soon as Scott shot, boom, everything went quiet. Goblin stopped, nothing. And so Scott messaged me and said, there's two more in the field. And I'm like, well, do you think we could sneak them? Because the field goes up and then down to Scott, like it rolls. Scott's like, yeah, go for it. So here's me and Dad trying to sneak. Well, we just step into the field and two hens, and they're gone. I'm like, okay, well, never mind there. So we sat for a little bit longer and then we packed it in. So in that time, Scott's bored. He's got nothing to do but hang with his turkey. So him and, we'll call him Tom, are taking selfies together, and Scotty's sending them to me, and he's like holding the head with his head, and it's like taking a turkey selfie, and firing it, and that's going to be a thing. And so and then he fires that off to me, and then he takes it of the turkey sitting in his chair. And so he sent me all these pics with this turkey, and he sent me a picture of the hooks, and they're good size. They were like an inch and three quarter or something like
that. Inch and
5/16. Inch and 5/16. They were decent hooks.
Biggest ones that I've ever had.
So I'm like, yeah, those are good hooks. That's got to be a good size bird. So being me, and I found out later, apparently there's a name for guys like me. It's a troll. But I take the pictures that Scott sent me, and I put on this Facebook group that has got like 20,000 plus members to it, a hunting one, and I post the pictures that Scott sent me. And I'm like, possible new world record for an Eastern. Stay tuned. What was the wording I used? I said official guesstimate.
And
I put that in quotes, right? So it sounded very professional, right? But still the wording, official guesstimate. And I put it in quotes and said official guesstimate, 43.6 pounds. And I post these pics on this group and thinking, I'm going to have dudes coming at me like, you're a moron, 43.6 pounds. Like, the world record's like 37 pounds or something crazy. Like, whatever, you idiot. What? Check your scale. All of a sudden, it's lighting up like a girl in a bikini holding a gun posted a picture. Oh, it's getting likes and likes and loves and likes and 140-something within 10 minutes. And I'm like, nobody's calling me out on this. I posted this so people would chirp. So I'm like, okay. One guy kind of alluded to it but didn't really want to attack me. And so we went to the taxidermist because we got to go to Dave Snook, Mapleton Taxidermy Cheese Shop. Awesome dude, David Snook. So we go out and see Snook, and he brings out the scale. And so I am able to sneak my hand on top of this bird. And Scott takes my phone and pushed down the scale so it is exactly 43.6 pounds while Scott pops a picture. And you can't see my hand on this bird. Perfect. So I post the I have this. I'm waiting for somebody to lose it on me. So that I could just go, oh yeah, here it is on the scale. And David is like, what are you guys doing? So I kind of explained. I don't think he totally understood what we were doing. He's like, well, that's a government issue scale. I'm like, perfect. That's all I needed to hear. So nobody ever really called me out on that, but I posted it up anyway and said, hey, look, here it is on the scale. And dudes are like, wow, awesome bird, da-da-da-da-da. I'm like, oh my gosh. So the next day, I get my bird, and I'm like, okay, I thought 43.6 pounds was an absolute ridiculous number that guys would have been all over me on. So now I'm going to pick something stupid ridiculous. So here's my bird. I take a picture of it, and I posted I know yesterday I posted a world record, but forget that. Today, We've got a new Eastern record. Official guesstimate, 49.3 pounds. And again, I got guys like, I want like 140 likes.
You guys are awesome.
I had a gentleman that writes for a magazine contact me and want to interview me and ask me if I had cut up the bird yet because we needed to open. I'm like, dude, no. It was a joke. Apparently I'm what you call a troll. No. And so it was like the whole experience for me after the fact was completely mind-blowing, but I had fun.
Oh, absolutely. It was fun. Well, the official weight for my bird was 22 pounds. Beard was 9 7/8 inches, and the spurs were 1 5/16.
Yeah. That's awesome.
So that's good. Like,
so it's still a good bird, but yeah, it was like.
And then I had smoked turkey breast. Woohoo! Oh, fantastic.
While this is all going on, because of social distancing, Dave comes out to the truck and he weighs it on the back of the tailgate, and he's taking the beard and the legs and the tail and all that stuff outside. We're standing a little bit away. So Dave gets all that. And so we want to weigh it first. So he puts it on the scale, and him and I, we both step back. So these two take over, and they're laughing and joking and talking about what they're going to do with this weight and all this stuff. And Dave looks at me, and I looked at him, and he says, "How do you hang with these guys? You look tired. Hey, do they exhaust you?" I said, "You have no idea."
Oh, I wish I'd have heard that. Could I have schooled him? Dave, you got a crit goat back. Take my father down there. Let him show you his specialty.
How to roll through the creek.
Nice. Oh, good Lord. I didn't know Dave said that. I'd have been on him. My God.
He sides with me all the time. He says, "I don't know. I don't know how you do that, buddy."
I do like Dave. He's such a dry sense of humor that, yeah, he's got a sense of humor. You just got to stop and listen, which I often have a hard time. But yeah, oh, it was.
They have medication for that.
Yeah. Oh, but yeah, I was having fun. It was good. I just thought dudes would have been on me like crazy all over that, and nobody. I felt bad afterwards. I even feel bad telling this on the story because I figured all these guys are gonna be like, "You're an idiot," and nobody. And so I said to this guy, "Wow, I don't know if that's a compliment or if it's not. I don't, why didn't anybody come at me? Come at me, bro." But yeah, it was good. It was fun. It was a good end. Scott had smoked turkey. I pulled the breasts out and the legs out. Dad took a leg. But then I took a picture and sent it to you guys, right?
It was fantastic.
I can't remember the concoction I put together. I Googled it. I didn't even call Nick. Nick, if you're listening, I'm sorry, buddy. I went rogue on this one. And I Googled the recipe, and I was like, that sounds really good. And it was like maple syrup, and I had to butter it like crazy. And then I put Montreal steak spice in with the maple syrup and something else. Soy sauce. And I can't remember it all. And then I had to put it in for so long and then start glazing it with it. And it was absolutely phenomenal. So
sounds good.
If I can find the recipe, I think I might have saved it on my phone. It might still be in my Google cache. I'll post it with the podcast, but it was absolutely amazing.
I can give my turkey legs to my neighbor. When I was out there cleaning it, the neighbor lady came over and she was telling me how awesome that we are because I'm always got fish out there, always got animals out there of some sort, and she loves all that stuff, and I know she does. So when I cleaned that bird up, I kept the breast, but I gave her the legs and the thighs, and she smoked them for herself and smoked my breast for me.
Oh, right on.
Yeah, so that's how that happened.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Keep your neighbors happy.
Yeah, they're good people.
You got one more weekend, eh?
So we got 1 week left. We got to seal the deal. Dad's got a tag burning a hole in his turkey vest.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
So we're going to rock and roll. You know if you got any young ones going out with you, Bill?
Yeah, Hunter's coming out.
After last weekend, right? He's there.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be much convincing to get him out of bed Saturday morning. So
my kids, we'll get out there. They're gonna go, but They fail to commit. And Megan, she usually would, and she's been with me when we shot a turkey, right? So she gets it. But now she just broke her foot Sunday. So she's all in a big boot thing with crutches. And
oh, no.
You know, stepping down the stairs off the back deck. It literally, like, what, three steps? She rolled her foot.
No way.
And within 5 minutes, the thing blew up. And so Grandma come over and looked with Jed. And I'm like, look, guys. And Bill, you can attest to this. I said, look, everything that I've broken from bull riding, you have no idea unless you go get an x-ray. But you just, you and nine times out of 10, a sprain is worse than a broken bone.
Yeah.
But I said, you guys could sit there and contemplate this all day. And then it's like, well, we don't want to go because of the COVID and you got to go in. But like, hey, wait times are really low right now.
Yeah, and, for sure. Nobody there.
Yeah, in Elgin County, in our area, we have one active case. It was 4 weeks ago. The person just was sent home from the hospital last week and nothing more has been reported. You're probably green-lighted. You'll be okay.
Absolutely.
So they went out and, yeah, she fractured a bone and... So she's got this. Yeah. So that will be her excuse as to why she can't go turkey hunting this weekend.
That's about the same time last year. My son did that to his hand, and it took us a day and a half because he's pretty tough and stubborn. Before he admitted that it's too hard, I can't do whatever. And we took it in. He had a fracture. I think it was his wrist that he fractured. But anyways, it's the whole summer now.
Did he get a cast on?
Oh, yeah. He had no choice. He had to get a cast.
See, I did that at Orangeville Rodeo, right, Scotty? When I headbutted Fisher Price, I broke my jaw and I broke my wrist, and they put the plaster of Paris cast on my arm. And it was, we were going goose hunting or something. It was the end because I had that cast on for 2 days and early goose season started and we had a field. Remember, Dad? And so I cut that sucker off. I said, there's no way. I couldn't hold a shotgun. So I cut it off, put some tape on her. We went goose hunting.
That's what you got to do. As long as you can hold the gun. Unless they cast the forehand into your cast, you got to cut it off.
Yeah, right.
You got to get your brother. Yeah.
If I'd have had a shotgun with me in Orangeville, it would have been all right. Hey, make sure you hold it around this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had to cut it off. But
that's good. One more weekend, and I'm sure we'll have some stories for next week, and we'll make things happen. If nothing else, we'll have some good memories. And
that's right.
And hoping to not have a tag comes Saturday afternoon.
We got till the 31st, right? Sunday. We got till Sunday night, 7 p.m.
Yeah. Well, good luck, guys.
You as well. Good luck to Hunter.
Absolutely. Yep. Yes.
Good luck. You and your son have a good outing. And Scott, it was great having you back on the podcast again. I love that chuckle.
Thank you.
Good to hear you, Scotty.
Thanks, guys.
And good luck to Todd having to take Dad back in the woods again. All right, guys. We'll talk next week.
Sounds good.
Okay, that'll do it for today. So until next time, on behalf of Redneck Country Podcast, I'm Bill Tom.
I'm Todd Millard. And Scott Goodall?
Nope, I'm good.
Thanks for listening, everybody. If you want to be part of the podcast, by all means, hit us up at podcast@theredneckcountry.com. Again, that's podcast@theredneckcountry.com. And be part of it. Join us and have a blast. I hope you enjoyed it. Sitting around the campfire having some fun.